Blog Talk Radio.
Experience with co-host Dolly Miller Brennan.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.
And now your host, the notorious MJH.
Modern Slavery and the Fight for Freedom, and our co-host Dolly Miller Brennan should be joining us shortly. She's supposed to be here now, but she's probably just running late. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Ballard?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good, sir.
Good.
Hey, we're supposed to talk about something tonight, but I have no idea what.
Well, you have a defective
Nobody fills me in on anything.
Now, remember last week we basically... We covered for an hour a little bit about what America needs to do, and we were going to pick it up and basically go into the specifics of the political platform that we need to put together between now and 2012 for the 2012 presidential election campaign.
That's right. That's
so that
right.
Was our topic for tonight. So maybe what I'll do is since you seem to have forgotten it, let's go back and let's just kind of real quickly kind of lap on what we discussed last week, and which set the stage for this week. Basically, what we've been talking about was that there seems to be a growing consensus in America that there's a problem. I don't think there's too many people who will argue with that. Question is, what is the problem? And the question after that is can we do anything about it? So in terms of what is the problem, I like to talk in very big pictures, like a 50-foot view looking down on the forest, so that we can really see what's important, because I think what happens is America gets caught in the minutia. They look at whatever it is headline today, they look at the bites that they're fed that day, and then they talk about that for a week, and we lose focus of what the really big issues are. So the question, I think, is that we've had the 2009 midterm election. There's some renewed hope because we got basically control of the House by the Republican Party, and now people are saying, well, can we make a difference? Can the Republicans who have been brought into office make a difference? And that's where I want to stop, and I want to say, point, now let's look at the 50,000-foot view and see what's wrong. What's wrong, first of all, is that question is wrong, is we're putting control of our government in the hands of politicians that have shown us over and over again they don't have our best interest at heart. So what we really have to do is say, how can the real question is between now and 2012, how can the American people continue to get more and more and more control so that we finally get a hold of the rudder of the ship of state and we can start to control some things instead of having corrupt politicians control things and instead of having insiders in Washington control things. So basically, what we have to understand is, are you there? Are you?
The number you dialed is not in service.
Mike, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't know what that was, but okay, I'll try to regroup my thoughts here.
I was trying to call Dolly, but Dolly was calling in, so we got a... Dolly, you there?
Well, today was the day to get my hair cut and get gorgeous, so I was a little late. If the stuff hits the fan, I may not be that gorgeous, but I'll be able to do it.
Well, let's catch you up. What we missed you last week. So last week we were talking about basically the State of the Union sort of thing, and what I was doing right now was just kind of in a short, capsulized version, kind of reiterating what we talked about last week. And what we had left off with was We've tried a couple of different times to talk about what we need to do in terms of forming a platform between now and 2012. So that's going to be the basic conversation for tonight. But let me just go ahead and kind of regroup and get our kind of...
One thing I'm interested in is one of your points that really seemed to hit home in the last 2 days, and that is about the U.S. middle class under attack, consolidating the wealth, with Obama joining with General Electric. Even his own party are saying, wait a minute, pro-business is one thing, pro-one business is another.
Well, that's really kind of where we were wrapping up. Let me try to wrap up to get people in focus on what we talked about last week, and then you take me wherever you want to go down this line. But I kind of want to give them a little bit of heads up, because that's what we would do when you came on the phone. So basically, the real question is that we have to start trusting our politicians less and ourselves more. And if we're going to trust ourselves more, then that means we have to take responsibility, both personally and at a political level, and what it means that we have to get informed. And so that's the real reason that I wrote my book, is because right now, if I went out and talked to 1,000 Americans, I bet not 50 of them have an understanding of what it is that's really important that we have to get control of if the American people are going to take the ship of state and turn it in a direction that's going to heal this nation. And so that's really what we want to talk about tonight, is what are the really important things that we need to look at. And probably the first one is are we in sync with our government? And that goes to the question that you were asking, Dolly. And so I'll just kind of recap real quickly, and then we'll go to your question and let you reiterate it. Basically, our federal government is trying desperately to collapse us intentionally, and they're trying also to collapse not just our federal government, but there's efforts they made to collapse Europe and the entire free market system to drive us into a one-world government. Well, I think most Americans like America, and they want to have a sovereign United States of America. So if the goal of our government is to collapse us, then we're at loggerheads with our government. Our government wants one thing, and the American people want another. So that means that we can't turn control over to the Republicans or the Democrats, because effectively we have a two-party dictatorship. So the real issue is, what do we do, what do we Americans do in order to gain control of a political system? So now with that, let me stop, and I'll let you, you know, kind of chime in with where you were trying to take me before.
Well, what I'm interested in here, and again, is, you know, what we can do. We see pro-business, like I see a dictatorship forming here with the U.S. controlling business, and with Obama joining forces with GE, what does that do to other businesses? And also, I was wondering if you could tell us a little about the Russian connection.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor first, though. I haven't been doing anything except writing for the last week or two. So before I start to answer the broader question, why don't you reiterate for the audience the GE connection, because you probably know more about it at this point than I do, and then I'll pick up from there.
Okay. You mean regarding the Russian connection?
No, I'll talk about Russia, but you were talking about Obama lining up with GE, and
yes,
I'm not really conversant
about GE, aligning up with GE, and I'm very concerned about that, and that is consolidating the wealth in the hands of the financial elite. That's exactly, I think, what the stimulus did, if I'm correct, and it's going even further. We have a few people who are going to get very, very rich, and it's really going to hurt a lot of others. Now, the point being is, what can we all do? What is the platform? What in the world can we do to prevent this happening, to prevent the government taking a couple of companies and consolidating the wealth from them and making everybody else fall in line? What can we do to prevent that?
Well, I think before I even answer that, I want to put a statement on top of your statement that makes people understand that it's even worse than you're suggesting, Dolly. And then we'll take it at that higher level of exactly how bad is bad. I think that what we need to do is we need to just real quickly step back and look at the headlines during the time Obama's been in power, and we need to basically say, where's that agenda taking us? And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to control every aspect of life. They're trying to control health care and determine who lives and dies. They're trying to control our access to energy. They're trying to control our access to food. They're trying to devalue the dollar. They're trying to deny us employment. And they're basically pitting the American people against one another through entitlement programs. So they're trying to divide and conquer, and they're trying to make us so dependent on them that we basically are afraid to stand up. And in that process, now going back to what you said, the overall reason they're doing all that is because they want to, there's a world international banking organization that wants to collapse the free market system, and that's where we get into the China issue and the Russia issue, because basically those governments have already been taken over by this financial elite, and they've modeled their, they've modeled the New World Order after China, which is basically now emerged from being a strict totalitarian communist government into being a hybrid capitalist communist government, and that's what they want to do with us. And basically, they've got basically making efforts to try to bring together China and Russia and the United States all under the same economic model, which is a hybrid model of communism and capitalism. And in order to make that work, they can't have the broad-based disparity between the standard of living in China and Russia and that of the United States. So therefore, the standard of living in the United States has to be brought down. And there'll be a myriad of things they'll use to do that. And one is to put the hands in the, put money in the hands of giant conglomerates who can control us all. So let me let you redirect me again any way you want to go. But maybe before we do that, kind of the broad-based areas that we're going to have to gain control is election reform, financial reform, trade reform, healthcare reform. Then along with that, we've got to get into energy reform, the issue of national sovereignty. Are we going to allow ourselves to be driven into a one-world government? And then the whole issue of our civil liberties. So within
now,
each of those, there are many
first?
Things we can discuss. Pardon me?
Where do we start first? Do we start with election reform first to make sure that we don't have a dictatorship forming immediately?
Yeah, I think actually I look at it as there's a big super tanker out there coming across the ocean, and it's got a little tiny rudder. And you take that little bitty rudder and you turn that ship, but it may take miles to turn that ship. So in our case, it may take the next 2 years to regain any control over this government whatsoever. And if we're going to do it, then here's what the American people have to do. So before we get into the specifics, and you're right, the first thing is we've got to get the career politicians out. And we've made some inroads by getting some new rookies in, but we've got to get basically sweep all the old guys out and start with a fresh group of people, and they're going to have to be willing to address election reform. But before that, here's what we've got to do. The American people have to stop, and they have to say, I can't trust this government anymore. Basically, we've got to be willing to stand up and get involved now. We've got to be willing to say, no, we're going to tell the politicians what we want to do. Instead of having the politicians come to us and tell us what they've done, we have to be willing to tell them what we do. Plus, we also have to be willing to take some personal responsibility for what has happened to this country. And we have to get ourselves informed, because the average American right now is not knowledgeable enough in order to be able to get involved in forming a meaningful platform to turn this country in another direction. And we have to have a plan, and it has to be very specifically executed, which we'll talk about in a second. And then we all have to be willing to get up off the couch, to get involved, to give our time, our effort, our energy, and our money to whatever organization or organizations it is that we feel that are going to best represent a chance to save America, whether it's the Tea Party or whether it's some other group. We can't sit on the couch anymore. We have to get involved. So now, back to what you said. Yeah, if we're gonna do anything, we've got to get control of that super tanker, which means we've got to get up to the bridge, we've got to get a hold of the rudder, and we've got to steer the ship. And so the first step, we can't control or change anything if we can't get the old career politicians out, get a new group in, and that group has to be willing to abide by election reform. They have to get rid of gerrymandering. And for those who don't know what that is, that's where you basically rig a congressional district in order to be able to sway votes in favor of one party or the other. crucially, we have to get the lobbyists out. There was a point in U.S. history where we did not have lobbyists. We need to return to that situation where lobbyists are not allowed. We need to have term limits so that we don't have politicians who are in there for 30 and 40 years and are representing their vested interest and not ours. And we need to basically take control of the office of the presidency, and we need to severely limit what a president can do with executive order, because we've become a government now. When they can't get what they want through the legislature, then they go through the president's office and they do it with executive order. So that's the first order of business, and then get down to the real plank of what it is that we're going to do. And so basically the first one would probably be, here's the way I would challenge people, and Dottie, then I want to stop and have you chime in. I think we have to ask ourselves, of all the various myriad things out there, what are the things that are going to be most likely to cause us to economically collapse in the next 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? Those are the things that we have to take control of first, once we get control of the rudder. So with that, let me stop for a second and see if you have any specific comments or questions before I keep rattling on.
Okay, so first we're saying election reform. So therefore we have to hammer at our representatives and tell them we want term limits, we want limits on the president's powers and executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to hammer at them that we want lobbyists gone, we want to not so much control over the energy system, is that correct? We need to reform the energy system because it's another way they're going to take control.
That's kind of a whole different issue. That's not part of election reform. If we're talking about election reform,
yeah,
energy is under a different.
And once we get election reform in there, then hammer on our representatives and say, we want you to work on energy reform. We want you to work on limiting the president's powers. We want you to work on eliminating lobbyists. We want you to work on, what bothers me is the trust have been busted. Well, you have national conglomerates, so you still have mega trusts. So we need to break this business system apart and bring it back down to size. Is that correct?
Well, now you're getting into financial reform. So let's take them one at a time so we don't confuse the people. So let's take election reform, and we'll kind of reiterate that real quick, and then we'll go into financial reform secondly. Let's take them one at a time. So election reform basically isn't going to work by going to our currently elected politicians and saying we want you to support election reform, because we have asked those politicians for the last 30 years to give us election reform, and some of them have promised it to us, and once they get in, it's a broken promise. So the only way we're going to get election reform is if we absolutely, as an American constituency of millions of Americans, come together under the banner of the Tea Party or whatever party it is, and we say come 2012, we're voting out all the incumbents, and we're going to vote in new people, and then we have to give those new people a platform, a whole platform, and say we will support you if you will support our platform. So the first plank of that platform is election reform, and under election reform, these are the primary principal things we have to do. We have to get rid of, one, gerrymandering, so that they can't artificially control congressional districts. We have to get the lobbyists out so that they can't buy legislative votes. We have to set term limits so that we don't have people who are career politicians who are more interested in their own vested interest than they are in ours. We have to get a law passed that says no law can be passed by somebody in the legislature that they are exempt from. So we can never again have Social Security and not have the legislators have to participate in Social Security. We can never again have health care and not have the legislators have the same health care we have. So basically that's another part of election reform. There can't be an elite that gets treated one way and the American people that get treated another way. And then we have to go after the office of the presidency and strip away some of the powers so that we can come back to the balance of power between the three branches. Right now the presidential office holds far too much power through the exercising of his executive order, and so we need to strip some of that away. That is basically election reform. That gives us the rudder, and it gives us control of the helm of the ship, and then we have to go down step by step through all of the various things that control a government, and the first one that's probably the most important is financial reform. And so basically that would be step two. So before I go into that, do you have any questions or comments? That's the topic that's on the table right this second.
Okay, well, what I'm also interested in is for the new representatives that are in office now, the ones we're going to put in 2012, providing we get to a 2012 election and Obama doesn't do something to try and cancel that out, education reform. And I think you've touched on that before, too, but the education in our schools, there is none. George Washington had the equivalency of an elementary school education. He was tutored at home. My God, can you imagine if he had had the education Obama had? I mean, you know, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. You know, so
well,
we need education reform.
Valerie, let me stop you. If we're going to have continuity for the American people to walk away with a platform, we have to kind of stick to one topic at a time. Education reform is one of the planks, the main planks of a platform. Let me run through them. So basically, we have as main planks election reform, financial reform, trade reform, health reform, energy reform, and then we get down into education reform, and we get down to the whole issue of national sovereignty and into civil rights. And we need to discuss each one of those separately so that we don't confuse people. So I can jump to education if you want, but
well,
education is a longer-term solution. Pardon me?
Let's look at some financial reform and see what we can do with that, what we can
all right, so
with that.
Financially, here's the key. You have to look at a couple of major things. Right now, what the American people have to ask themselves is, since Obama has gotten in, has the things that he has done strengthened the dollar? The answer is no. Has it created more jobs? The answer is no. Has it, in fact, hurt the American entrepreneur? The answer is yes. And what specific things has he done that have damaged us so that we can now launch a counteroffensive in order to basically attack those things that are harming us? So he's passed a stimulus bill that has driven us into a huge national debt. And so basically one of the things we have to do to counter that is we have to have a commitment that once we get new legislators in, we're going to pass a balanced budget so that we can't have this kind of out-of-control spending in the future. Now, that's a huge, huge issue. Some of these things are going to be easier to get than others, but that's something that we should be working towards, which is a government that is committed to living within its means. But more importantly, I guess more on the practical side, the American people have been literally bankrupt, and they're being torn apart by Obama's redistribution of wealth policies. So we need to see through that and see how we can counter that. What he's basically said to Joe the plumber and to America is, I'm going to take money from the middle class and give it to the lower class, and by redistributing that wealth, everybody will be better off. But as we've talked about in other segments, that's a bunch of crap, because there's not enough money left in the middle class. They're struggling. There's not enough money left to give to the lower class without literally bankrupting the country. So what we have to do is have financial reform. And all we have to do, none of this, here's the question that we should be asking. They want us to think that we're not smart enough to basically put this kind of a platform together. But they're simple, common-sense solutions. The only reason these pieces of legislature have to be so difficult and so complicated in 2,000 pages is because they're trying to control segments of the economy, and they're basically not making straightforward political pieces of legislation. So if we want to turn the financial situation around, there was a time about 30 or 40 years ago when there were usury laws, and when that was in place, we couldn't have the credit card scams that we have right now, the predatory lending scams that we have. But then they went and incorporated in some states that didn't have usury laws, and they were allowed to basically, everybody went to those states and incorporated, and interest rates went up to 30-40%. So all we have to do, this is huge, is just get in power and pass a national usury law, and once that's done, the credit card companies can't charge us 30-40% anymore. They can only charge us what is considered to be within the confines of the usury law, which is maybe 7-10%, And now look at all that money that flows back into the hands of the middle class and into the hands of the lower socioeconomic class. It redistributes the wealth from the corrupt bankers back to the hands of the people. And now let's walk through what that means. It means that we don't have to be dependent on Social Security in the future because we've got enough money to basically start saving again like we used to do in the 50s and the 60s when we were a nation of savers. So if we can get the money back by something as simple as passing a national usury law, now we're in better control. And then another key component under financial reform is that we've got to create a situation where Americans are allowed to pay off their mortgages. Right now, they're not allowed to.
That's the question I was going to bring up. Every time that somebody takes and redoes their mortgage, they have to sign a new mortgage. So what we've really done in this country is take away the right to acquire property, and now the government owns our homes, and no one really has a home.
That's right. They basically, I mean, that's a topic we discussed a couple of weeks ago, but basically the government has the right to take your house if you can't pay your taxes. You could owe as little as $2,000 or $3,000 on a paid for house if you were, say, a senior citizen, and the government would come and take your house away. But in terms of allowing people to pay their houses off, all we have to do is basically change the mortgage law, and this ends the predatory lending scandal that caused the collapse that we're currently facing. All we have to do, very simple, common sense solution, is we just tie the mortgage to your name so that if you buy a new house in the future, you don't have to have a new mortgage. Every average American moves every 5 to 7 years, which means his mortgage starts over again every 5 to 7 years, and in 5 years, 80% of everything you paid went to interest rates. So now if you can keep that mortgage, let's say your new house costs $10,000 more, so all you have to do is take out a second mortgage for $10,000. That starts at year one on the amortization table. It starts at a new interest rate. But the balance, say you owe $150,000, that remained at year, say, 15 on your amortization table if that's where you were. And if you had a 5% mortgage rate, it remains. Now the average American can pay his home off, and once he gets his home paid for, he can have massive amounts of money funneled into savings. And again, we don't have to be dependent on Social Security now because people are able to save for the futures. There's several more things in the financial platform, but if we're going to go through everything, we'll never get through all of these items. So there's two key ones for financial reform, and maybe we can move on to another category now if you don't mind.
What about trade reform?
Trade reform is probably, in my mind,
the trade deficit. It's as important as
the most important plank that we can have. We have to absolutely, Dolly, you're 100% right, we have to get out of the World Trade Organization. And again, it's really not as complicated as people think, but it's more serious than people realize. It all started, as we've talked about in the past, from Carter when we entered into the World Trade Organization, and it was designed intentionally to collapse the United States of America. Basically, we are the only nation of 138 nations, major industrialized nations, that don't have limits on imports from China. They don't have tariffs. And so basically those other nations will take some goods from China, but then there's a limit, and we don't have a value-added tax. So for 50 years, we've practiced intentionally losing trade, and here's how they gutted our manufacturing. All they have to do to get around those limitations is the corporations, just like the banks could do to get around the limits on credit card interest, is they go overseas, incorporate overseas. Now they can come back into the United States, take advantage of all of the tax benefits. But what's happened in the meantime is the American manufacturing segment has been gutted. So we have to get out from under all of the world trade and all the free trade agreements, because to give you an example of how bad it's bled us, Dolly, we only had a $700 billion national debt when Carter came into power and when we signed the agreement to go under the World Trade Organization. And that the country was 200 years old. Now, 50 years later, we have a $14 trillion debt. So number one, more important than anything, once we get control of the rudder of the ship, is we have to get out from under these trade agreements. So you couldn't have picked a more important point.
I just see the trade deficit as just destroying this nation.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the number one thing that has contributed to our national debt. And the other thing that goes along with that is that as we've had to borrow money, then the Federal Reserve charges us interest. And so at some point under the financial platform, we have to make the commitment that we're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. We have not always had a Federal Reserve. We have to go back to not having one. And we have to give the control of the issuance of currency back to the Treasury so that we are not charged interest on the issuance of money. But that's going to be a hard one to get. But that's something else we have to do under financial reform.
We have to keep badgering our representatives that we want this trade reform. We want this financial reform.
So all we have to do is set up a plank so that we can basically say to those people who are going to end up on the referendums for, you know, to be elected for 2012, if you want our support, let's say we're the Tea Party, here's our plank of 12 points, whatever they happen to be, which is what we're kind of developing now. If you want our support, you will sign a pledge to support these things, one of which will be to get out of the World Trade Organization and all free trade agreements, another of which will be to get rid of the Federal Reserve, another of which will be to support election reform, another of which will be to pass a national usury law, another will be to modify the mortgage, the way mortgages are written, et cetera. So we present them with a plank containing these 12 or 14 or 15 points, and if they want our financial support and if they want our energy put behind them, then they have to agree to that platform. We can't just go in there and give control to the legislators. We have to tell them, this is what the American people demand. You want our support, you sign a pledge to support us, or we don't support you.
Larry,
we can't play around anymore.
Can we go briefly into energy reform?
Sure, absolutely. I think that as we talk about energy, we have to talk briefly about cap and trade, because cap and trade is the mechanism they're going to use to control energy. And energy is huge because, as Obama said, under my plan of cap and trade, energy costs will of necessity skyrocket. So if we go back to what they're trying to do, they want to control energy, health care, access to food. They basically want to make us 100% dependent on them. Okay, cap and trade hasn't passed, and we have to make sure that it doesn't. But they're very, very sneaky. What they can do with cap and trade is if they don't get it passed, they can write bureaucratic regulations using the Federal Trade Commission, and they can basically enforce, also using the financial reform bill, they can force regulations on companies that can be so onerous that it'll have the same effect. So basically we have to tell them we don't want these kinds of outlandish regulations placed on our entrepreneurs to the point that they can't grow their companies. We have to be under the financial reform bill. We have to make it easy for people to get capital to grow their businesses. And now under energy, we have to not hamstring them by having such absolutely ridiculous regulations placed on them that they're not able to grow their businesses. And that basically ties into healthcare as well, because they're hamstringing corporate America and the entrepreneur also by placing these requirements for this healthcare expense on top of them. So basically, we've got to basically get control of energy. And this is where they've got to get educated. You can go to my website. I'll give you one example of one energy solution that's out there that's real today, but there are many more. They're on my website, and we're not being presented with these solutions. There's a absolutely viable technology for recycling garbage. This company has a $20 million plant in operation that works, and they've got other sites that they're building, but the federal government's not getting behind them. The federal government instead is getting behind the production of ethanol, which takes agricultural land out of play and eventually is going to lead to starvation of people in third world countries and definitely going to drive our food costs up. So, see, everything is designed to control us. But
ethanol is, as my daddy would say, and he would say it this way, that's just bullshit. Ethanol.
Well, but they're building plants right and left to produce ethanol, and here's the solutions on the table. This processing of garbage produces gas, it produces char or charcoal, and it produces crude oil. And anything that is carbon-based, which is anything that's not silicon-based, which is almost everything in our environment, can be reprocessed. It's much the way they make a diamond industrially. All they do is take anything, tires, steel, anything, grind it up, put it into a pressure cooker under pressure, and they let what that takes thousands of years in nature to occur. It occurs very rapidly, and the net result is that we have either gas or we have char or we have oil. And the man who runs this company is basically on record saying that he can produce, if they would, you know, take this into full production, that they could produce enough oil to make us 100% not dependent on any foreign oil sources at all. And instead, what's Obama doing? Obama is saying that we can't drill in the Gulf, and he's doing everything he can do to create an oil crisis, because what they want to do, again, is control us. But there are viable, almost not free, but very inexpensive clean energy solutions out there. And if we're going to place demands on our legislators, we need to be informed. And that's where people need to buy my book. They need to go to my website. They need to buy other books. But they need to become informed, because how can you demand something and drive something if you don't know what's needed and how you have to go about getting it?
Well, Larry,
stop on energy and take me wherever else you want to go on energy or any of the other topics.
Just one second. Mike and I need to get you on Facebook. It's very easy. It's very simple. And you need to get on there, and you need to get on there big time.
Okay.
And we can, you know, either one of Mike is a lot more technically oriented than I am. I can do the basics. When somebody shows me, I'm okay. But he can think up how to do it. I can't do that. I have to be told. One thing I'm concerned with, I think a lot of people are concerned with, and a lot of people want to hear national sovereignty. Are we losing our national sovereignty? I got had a Twinkie in my mouth. Excuse me. National sovereignty.
Well, that was the basic reason we have to not depend on the Republicans or Democrats and have to depend on ourselves is absolutely what you said. Basically, the intent of the Republicans and Democrats, both, are to destroy the economic sovereignty of the United States of America and to drive us into a one-world government. And so if we're going to have any hope of saving this country, we have to put people into power who aren't part of that current regime, who aren't dedicated to collapsing us and driving us into a one-world government, which is nothing but a corporate monopoly. And we have to put people in power who say, no, we want to maintain the sovereignty of the United States of America, and we don't want to be part of any one-world government. What's that mean at a high level? It means we have to get out of all of these global governance organizations. It means we have to get out of the World Trade Organization. It means that we have to get out of the World Health Organization. And within that, it's probably not the time to talk about it, but there's something called the Codex, and most Americans don't even know what it is. And it's almost as important as the whole energy arena. And so basically, we've got to get out of all of the things that basically take control away from individual nations and give them to global governance organizations. And we've got to come back to small government, and we've got to come back to being proud of being Americans. And we've got to basically say we don't want, under any consideration, to be a part of anything. And that will take us then to a piece of legislation that's been being bantered around for a long time and Washington has had nothing to do with it, and that is H.R.C. 40, which is a resolution that says the United States of America wants nothing to do with the formation of the AmeriUnion, which is the formation of Mexico, United States, and Canada into one governance body. And that really takes us into the whole issue of what the heck is going on with immigration and with our borders. And the reason that our borders are left open is because they want to eventually collapse us into one economic group of Mexico, United States, and Canada. And to do that, they have to leave those borders open so they can eventually lower the standard of living in the United States of America so that basically we can be one giant supercontinent, one super economic entity.
And this began quite a way back when there were discussions of the Amero going on in the Bush administration, and no one really knew it, when there were discussions of building this highway that runs right from Mexico to the U.S. to Canada. So this has been going on for a long time. It was stopped for a while, but it's been going on for a long time. Now, Andrew Castanuela is running for senator from Texas, and And he has, and some of his points in immigration reform are, he's running in 2012, are, you must immigrate, you must first patrol the borders, immigrate legally, and then be required to sign a pledge that states that you are going to assimilate into the American environment, that you're going to speak English. Retain your language if you want to, but you have to speak English, and you have to assimilate into the American environment and become an American. Retain your culture, the privacy of your home, but you have to assimilate into being an American. What do you think of that?
I think it's one of those ideas that sounds great on paper. It's not real practical. I've got some friends who are Hispanic, and once they're here, they're not going to leave. And if they're not going to leave, then they're not forced into assimilating into our culture, and it becomes unenforceable.
Well,
here's what
Israel is. Israel is now requiring a pledge. You come immigrate to Israel, you sign a pledge to support the Jewish state, and you must assimilate into an Israeli culture.
Oh, I think Israel has a lot more control than we do. I think we've got to approach immigration at a far more drastic level. I don't think that's wrong. I think that what he says is great, but I don't think it's executable on a practical level. Here's what I think we have to do. If we're really serious about not wanting to be part of an Amero Union, which, by the way, I want to digress, that's another one of those things that was done by the Office of the Presidency. That whole thing was started under the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, which was done by President Bush as a secret conference that was done. It was never taken forward to the American people as a treaty, as it should have been. And so it's another one of the instances where the Office of the Presidency has way, way too much power. And you talked about the Intercontinental Highway, Transcontinental 35,
right.
And that's just not talk. They basically passed laws that say that they can take away American citizens' land in order to build that highway to connect from Mexico to the United States to Canada, and they've been doing it. That highway is being built as we speak, so that's no longer something that's hypothetical. But going back to what you were saying, I think we have to get much more drastic control, and the answer is not in border guards. The answer is in making it unattractive to come, and all we have to do that is basically just say that if you're going to come into this country, you can't get a job. If you don't have papers, you can't get a job. You can't get a driver's license. You can't buy a house. In other words, all the things that we require, all the documentation that we as American citizens are required to show to be a part of this government, need to be imposed upon the people coming across the border from Mexico. And we have ways of executing every one of those things so that if we wanted to really keep them out, we can do it just by simply saying that if you don't have a driver's license, I mean, if you don't have the right paperwork, you can't get a driver's license, you can't get a job, you can't get health care coverage, you can't buy a house, you can't participate in the American system at all, and therefore there's no incentive to come. Other countries do that. That's the way they keep immigration down, and that's really the key central answer to how we control the immigration issue is make it unattractive to come in the first place. And then add on to it the things that you were talking about. For those who do come, then we have to have mechanisms to assimilate them into the society.
So what you're saying is that right now we need to focus on election reform. We need to get all new people in there. And when they're in there, we need to have a platform for them to let them know that this is what they have to do to be elected if they want our support. And once we get in there, we have to let them know we want trade reform. We want to eliminate cap and trade. We want to dump the Federal Reserve. We want to get out of the global trade programs. It doesn't mean we can't trade internationally, but we need to get out of the global trade programs. And we need to reorganize, we need to get into financial reform and get into mortgage reform. I have a friend in Chicago that lost $1.3 million in the stock market. He just lost his home also. I mean, this happens, and we need to prevent that from happening. We need to prevent the government from controlling our homes and our property. And is that what you're saying, that we need to start with the election reform, and once they're in there, we need to hammer on that, and we need to get into the energy reform, and we need one of the first things is stop gerrymandering. I think that's really important. So this is what we should begin with. We should have a platform. We should get together with like-minded people, educate yourself. You know, make sure you have a group. You can't sit back anymore. You're saying that you really have to get out there and work to save your country, because if you don't, it's not going to be saved. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And in the book, you see, this is very difficult to talk about on a radio show, because here's the problem. You have to educate before you can really have enough information to know what you need to do. So in the book, I waited until the very last chapter to discuss all this, after I had defined what cap and trade was, after I had discussed the immigration problem, after I discussed the mortgage problem, after I discussed all of the legislation that had been stripped away in the past, then I laid out the platform systematically, step by step, what's got to be first, second, third, fourth, fifth down the road. It's difficult to do that when you're trying to educate the people at the same time that you're trying to present the platform. So basically, you know, if we're going to get involved, the people have to take the responsibility, whether it's my book or whether it's some other source, and they have to get informed. And then we have to lay out the platform under each one of these categories. We have to have specific points under election reform, under financial reform, under trade reform. We've covered all those. And now maybe we haven't discussed health care. So maybe we can take a second and talk about what we've got to do under health care.
One more minute on financial reform in regard to the income tax. So we could be looking at a straight tax, at a flat tax?
Well, one of the things that's in my book is no. If we get rid of the Federal Reserve, eventually, not right away, it's a very, very complicated process. But once we get rid of the Federal Reserve, eventually we can get rid of income tax completely, because 100% of all the money that goes to pay income tax goes to pay the interest on the national debt, which is accrued because of the money we borrow from the Federal Reserve. So if we get rid of the Federal Reserve first, that's why certain things have to be done in the sequence, eventually we can pay down that debt to the Federal Reserve, and eventually we can get out from under income tax. But in the meantime, yes, probably a flat tax is advisable, and here's why. Because right now what the federal government does, we have a constitution that's about 17 pages long, and we have a federal tax code that's thousands of pages long. What the federal tax code is used to do, in addition to pay back the interest to the Federal Reserve for printing our currency, is it's used to control corporations and individuals through the changes in the tax codes. If you're aligned with the political agenda in Washington, your organization, your entity, your corporation will receive favorable tax benefits. If you're not, you're going to receive, you know, disfavorable tax incentives. We need to take that ability to control us away. So at every level of government, we have to ask ourselves, how is it they are controlling us in a fashion that is detrimental to us, and we need to take that control away? So in this
instance,
we've got to get rid of.
You're saying the basic purpose of the income tax is to pay off the interest from the Federal Reserve.
100% of every dollar that goes from an income tax goes to pay the Federal Reserve. All you guys, you want to prove that? On a simple level, all you do is you make out your check when you pay your taxes, and it says to the Internal Revenue Service. Turn it over, and on the back it's endorsed to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private multinational banking conglomerate. We are giving our money to a private banking institution, because what they do is, if we borrowed $70 billion, the Fed just goes over to a computer and pushes in a few keys that say print $70 billion, and then they charge us interest on that money. We are being controlled by the Federal Reserve. They're the real power in Washington. And so one of the key things we have to do is get rid of them. And once we can get rid of them, then we can look at getting rid of income tax. But that's why you've really got to get informed, because you've got to understand how one piece connects to the next piece, connects to the next piece, and how they have to be done in a sequential fashion. So you've got to get election reform first. And even though I'd say it'd be great to get rid of income tax right now, it's not practical. We've got to lay the groundwork to get rid of income tax, and that's going to take years, maybe even decades.
Okay.
Do you want to go into health care, or do you have other topics?
Yes, let's go into health care, yes.
Okay. Health care is way more ominous than people think. All the people have been looking at Obamacare and they debate and they push back and forth. I want to give you the real, real skinny on health care. It's all about, I don't care what anybody says, it's about controlling who lives and dies, and it's about controlling 1/6 of the GDP of the United States of America. Now, most people don't know. Again, this was through a regulation. But did you know, Dolly, that it is against the law to treat or to claim that you can treat any disease with anything other than a drug? It is illegal.
Yes, I do, because I was in healthcare management for years, and I know exactly what they're doing.
If you're a doctor and someone has cancer and they come to you, you have to tell them by law. And how in the world should a government have the authority over my body? They should never have that. The Constitution of the United States does not give this government that authority. But that doctor, if he doesn't want to lose his license, be fined $10,000 and be sent to jail, the only thing he can tell you is you must have surgery, you must have radiation therapy, and you must have chemotherapy. And if you don't have that, you know, I can't help you. So people are forced to go out of this country, go to Mexico, and go to Europe. And here's the news, folks. There is absolutely, and has been for decades, cures for cancer. Cancer is brought about by an imbalance in the body, and it can be restored by restoring that balance, and it's all nutrient-based, and no drug in the world is ever going to cure cancer. But we have a government that says it is illegal to treat any disease with any form of nutrition or diet at all, and I want to ask you why. Why? Because they can't patent it, and they can't make a fortune off of it, and yet all pharmaceutical drugs originated in the rainforest of the world, where they went out and they worked with the medicine men and found out the various plants that could cure the various diseases that we have. They went back and synthesized them and turned them into drugs because they were patentable, but they were far more efficient when they were given as natural remedies. I spent a lot of time in China, and I got involved in herbal medicine over there, where they do just exactly that. They'll treat you by taking a whole variety of fungi, of roots, and of natural plants. They'll boil them and make a tea and give you the tea. And now the difference is, instead of getting one synthetic drug that your body looks at as a toxin and a poison, you get a whole host of minerals and a whole host of nutrients. Your body can take that at a cellular micro level, and it can basically restore homeostasis to the body, and diseases can be cured that Western medicine never could cure, but more importantly, was never intended to cure, because a drug cannot cure. A drug can only mask the symptoms. So basically, we've got to understand that the Obamacare is really nothing more than an effort to control what we could do with our bodies, and they don't have that right.
We only have a few minutes left, but what I wanted to discuss, we have a few minutes left, get rid of Obamacare, and I honestly think that they're working hard on that. I think they may be able to do it. But another governmental health care bill, are you saying that you do not approve of that? Do you think this is a bad thing? How do you feel on that?
Wait, say that again, Dolly. I didn't understand what you said.
Okay,
say it again.
It appears that they may actually be going to be able to repeal this health care law. However, they're going to replace it with another one. What's your view on that?
I don't. All they're doing is watering it down. They don't have the right. Constitutionally, they don't have the right. We don't need it. Right now, what they've done already is they put so many exemptions in for the big corporations that the big drive behind it to begin with was that everybody was going to have health care. Well, McDonald's and I don't know how many other giant corporations have been exempt. And so you have to just basically say we don't need it. If we had wellness, if we had the right to treat, for example, diabetes can be cured in as little as 2 weeks by going on a 100% plant-based diet. And
my daddy did that. He decided he wasn't going to be diabetic anymore. He said, this is it. I'm through with it. I'm going to start eating differently, and I'm not going to be diabetic anymore. Everybody laughed at him. Next time he went to the doctor, there was no trace of diabetes.
Yep. Here's the bottom line. I spent 22 years in healthcare. I know a lot about what I'm talking about. This is the next book that I'm writing, so I'll digress for a second. If you go on a 100% plant-based diet, you can basically reverse almost any autoimmune disease, any what we call chronic degenerative disease. They have absolute reams of documentation from clinics outside of the United States that say diabetes, stage 2, type 2, not type 1, type 2 diabetes can be turned around and cured in as little as 1 to 2 weeks, and you'll never have to use insulin again. Most cancers can be cured using diet at a success rate that is in the 70s and 80% as opposed to chemotherapy and radiation therapy. For most cancers is less than 1%. And arthritis can be cured. Fibromyalgia can be cured. The American people, again, need to get educated. So here's the bottom line. It's very, very expensive to have a healthcare program that's based on disease. That's what America's healthcare program is on. They let us get sick. They don't give us anything to cure us. They give us pills to treat the symptoms, and it's very, very expensive. If we will get educated and if we will demand that we be allowed to have nutrients and we be allowed to have the information we need to know in order to cure these diseases, then the five major diseases that account for 75% of the cost of our health care are gone. And here's the last one that I'll talk about. It is absolutely proven with thousands of cases that if you go on an absolutely 100% plant-based diet, that heart disease can be cured, that the degeneration of your arteries can be cured, the plaque can be cleaned out, and that you can have the arteries of a teenager. And all you have to do is change your diet, get off of meat, and off of the cholesterol that it generates in your body, and it can be cured. So most Americans are taught to believe that their doctors are gods, and the reality of it is all they understand is disease and giving out pills, and wellness is something that's very, very, very simple. And we can lower our health care costs by 75% if we would demand a wellness-based program. What else do you want to talk about in the remaining couple of minutes we've got now?
I think we're pretty well done. It's 6:57. Mike?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am.
Well, the only things, I'm looking at some of the things here. We basically talked about almost everything except civil liberties, and that one's very, very specific. But basically, they put into place everything they need to put into place to at some time declare martial law. And what we have to do is, in the book, I have a whole list of about 15 pieces of legislation that they put into place in order to set the stage to declare martial law. And so what we have to do is go back and one at a time, we have to get them repealed. So there's a lot of what we have to do is just know what they've done to us, and we have to get the pieces of legislation that they've imposed upon us reversed. And if we can do that, that's 90% of what America has to do, just undo the things that they've done. And it's so simple if we can just get ourselves educated.
Well, gentlemen, I have to work. It's been wonderful. Larry, we need to get you on Facebook, and you can talk to either Mike or I. Mike knows a lot more about it. I can walk you through it, and he can do more than that. So we need to get you on Facebook.
Well, we'll have to have an offline conversation off the air later this week. I'll try to call both of you then.
Extremely simple. And, gentlemen, I have to go to work. It's been lots of fun. I have enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you all later.
All right, take care, Dolly. Mike, you take care. I'll talk to both of you another time. I'm going to go make myself some dinner.
Okay, bye-bye. That sounds good. Make some for me, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Larry Ballard, everybody, author of Modern Slavery and the Fight for Freedom, available on Amazon.com as well as his website, LibertyCrusade.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is MJH. Peace, God bless. I'm out of here. Later.
You have been listening to the MJH Experience on Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.